know what it was. I didn't know anyone else with it. I was told, take these pills, here's what it is, and I'll see you in 3 months. And I went online, and I typed in lupus, and I found Amanda online on Twitter, LA Lupus Lady. She's been diagnosed with for so many years now, and she was my mentor and my support system, my community online, and social media gave us that power to find each other. And so that's why we're here today, to talk about how Lupus Chat is joining the lupus community, no matter where they are in the world, from Germany to the UK to the US. We can get online on Twitter, and we can engage and be a community with each other. And so Lupus Chat has every other Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, and we speak for 1 hour about whatever the topics are that matter to us. I think last Sunday we actually had a doctor, rheumatologist from India, who joined us for a whole hour to talk with us about how awareness and advocacy is important. And this is why we're so excited to bring this to you here, to let you know how social media is connecting the lupus community online. So even though there's not so much known about it, us patients are using our voice through social media to connect and engage and be a support system no matter where we are in the world. And Amanda introduced what lupus style is to me, and she's going to tell us about it, and I'm so excited that you're going to tell us. So please, we're going to take a seat because we can't stand for too long. That's how we get down here at the conference in our lupus style.
Well, I'm going to stand up for a second because this is from Carrie Kane, and lupus style sometimes is dressing up and wearing heels, and trust me, I won't be wearing heels on day two, so enjoy them now.
Beautiful.
But it's lupus style is about embracing who you are and accentuating the positive. And when you have a chronic illness, sometimes you have to wear a purple wig and butterfly wings. And sometimes you have to wear purple tape and just dress in purple and embrace who we are. And we're not going to stop. Lupus isn't going to stop us from being who we are. No. You're just so beautiful when you wear your purple wig and butterfly wings. Like, you look at it. $1.40 would go to lupus research. We gave $140, $140 go directly to lupus research because the board of directors is Alliance for Lupus, which you can find on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr. Funds all of the fundraising costs, all of the administration costs. And I just want you guys to know that lupus style accentuates the positive because there's so much that's not positive. Looking hot. You show the lipstick, but I mean, kill me now, right? I'm like, okay, I've got great hair, but she's got lips. I'm going to compete with this. And it's not about competing. The lupus community embraces each other. And I'm embracing your lips, and I'm get up, I'm going to embrace you right now. I can't help it, it's live. We're not living with lupus, we're thriving with lupus.
Yes.
And everybody knows something with lupus, and Melissa Pierce, it's not a joke on House, and she didn't know anybody with lupus until we're here, and we have a voice, and we're on Twitter, and we're connecting, and when I'm up at midnight and thinking I can't sleep, somebody's up at 3 in the morning,
it's me,
and I'm like, why aren't you sleeping, are you taking your meds, or did you take your vitamin B, what's the deal, and how we're communicating is we're finding and sharing meaning in the state of now by being here. And what I did in May, I'm also a Jets fan. Sorry if you like the Giants, I get it with the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but my passions collided. This is a picture of my passions colliding. I have lupus, and Woody Johnson, who runs the Alliance, created the Alliance for Lupus, happens to own the New York Jets and had a little hookup, and we walked and had life feel together. And like, I ran 20 yards. I ran from the red zone into score. I got more than 7 points. I got a friend forever, a sister forever. And when lupus is no longer part of our vocabulary, which it will, because of groups like Alliance for Lupus, and that Lupus research is like, it's becoming sexy.
Hello?
We are embracing who we are, and we're not going to shut up until people listen. And we're so happy that you're here to listen. We're so happy. If you want to listen, the Lupus Chat's going to continue. Not here, because we don't want to get that axe. But we're having a brunch, because, okay, Lady Gaga is huge on Twitter, we know that, but a lot of you might not know that Lady Gaga's aunt
passed away from lupus many years ago, and her parents opened up a restaurant in her honor. And so on World Lupus Day, May 10th, we went there to just go and connect, to be in that space, to connect with the lupus community and our family online, to let them know that it doesn't matter for the warriors who are in the past.
Chef Art Smith was tweeting us, why were we taking pictures of the mac and cheese? And one of the ways that Tiffany helps keep me on board is she's like, healthy nutrition, put your spinach in your smoothie, and I'm like, today we're having mac and cheese and prosecco, and it's okay. And this has been our pleasure to share.
We just want to thank you for letting us bring Lupus Chat here. Just us being here is letting all of those patients out there know.
Hi, Germany!
No matter where they are, all of those lupus patients out there know that we're here for them.
You know who you are.
And we're connecting with each other online, and it's so important. This is how we get what lupus is, why it's important. We connect with doctors, physicians, organizations to let them know we need you now, and we need support now, and we're connecting now. Everything is happening right now. We may not be able to get to a support system in an organization, but we can connect and be that support system for each other. And so this is why we're here today, to share that support.
Saturday at Joanne's, we're having a brunch if you're here in New York City. We'll see you at 11:30. You have to make your own reservations on Urban Spoon, but we'll be there with the style.
And you can catch Lupus Chat every other Sunday. Next chat is Sunday, July 1st, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Right. Thank you very much.
We'll hear you say yes. Give it up, please. They all sound so unenthused about the
Yeah. Sing us a song. Piano.
Yes. Starship Captain. start. You're humming. Brogan's parents are singing along. Particularly if the mom is a stripper. So, song incorporates country music motifs. Do you have any country fans in the audience? Yeah, awesome. It incorporates musical motifs from the genre of country, but it couldn't be said to really be a country song because. Like David Allen Coe said, you know, there's no trucks in the song. No one goes to jail. No dogs. But here goes. The sagging piercings. And the faded tattoos. Caught the eye of her daughter one day. What did you do to make your body look that way? She said, I was a victim of fashion back in 1999.
Skills. These are the unique attributes about you. These are all the things that you can do. Take a circle with your right hand. This is your ideal job. It's like a perfect, perfect use of your skills. Now, how much overlap in what you're doing in your life right now is it? Make a little Venn diagram. Is it 100%? Is it partial? Is it? Are they not even on the same? All right, I see a range. But some people, no, we're not there yet. Other people, it's pretty close. This is nirvana. So.
What if you have really fat fingers?
If you have fat fingers, it means you have a tremendous number of purposes in life. So, now this question of your purpose in life, of trying to decide the balance, the link between what you're best at and what you could be doing with your life, wasn't something that even occurred in our parents or our parents' parents' generation. That's probably older than some in the audience. It wasn't even an issue that was really something that was possible for us to be thinking about. And so, speaking of parents, my father actually was a minister when I was younger, and he thought he was doing the thing that he was meant to do. He was actually a minister, and he was fired. And so he thought he had 100% overlap, and then it was suddenly taken out from underneath him. And he went on a journey to try to figure out, well, what's the process that I should be going through? What should I be doing with my life? And he eventually found that part of his purpose was to help other ministers. And he decided that one of the things a lot of ministers were having happen to them is they were being fired. And he went on a journey to basically write a pamphlet to help them. And it turned into a book. And the book is called What Color Is Your Parachute? It's a job hunting guide. There are now 10 million copies in print. And my father has become probably one of the greatest career experts on the planet. So when I was younger, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, what the overlap might be, when I was 19, I actually went to work with his business. I became a career counselor. And it doesn't take counseling too many people in their 40s and 50s to figure out that you should be doing what you love. That the more you can try to make this overlap between what your skills are and what you could be doing as close as possible is actually a wonderful goal. Unfortunately for me, when I was younger, I didn't know what that answer was. And so I sort of meandered around, didn't quite know exactly what field I was interested in. I probably did 20 jobs in my early 20s. And being young and stupid at the time, I went to my father and was trying to understand what he thought he might be my purpose in life. And I kept asking questions, and I never quite got the answer until I finally asked him, well, if you were my age, what would you be doing? And his answer was, more. Give it a beat. So I eventually got the message, and I realized, well, one of the things that I loved was technology. So I moved to Silicon Valley, and I've basically been there for 30 years. I've launched a half a dozen magazines, including one called Interactive Week, which was called the Internet's first newspaper. And I identified that one of the things I'd love to do was see trends, see the way that the world is changing. I got involved in producing events. I produced events for companies like Google and the United Nations, and loved the process of bringing people together. And then I also got involved in software startups. As a matter of fact, what we're doing now with eParachute, which plays off of What Color Is Your Parachute, is my fifth software startup. And one of the things that I learned is that this process of seeing inflection points, the way the world is changing, was really, really important to me. And so I actually think we're at one of those inflection points, and it has to do with the world of work. I think the world of work is changing. And I think we're going to look back on this period, and we're all going to say that the rules changed. There are new rules of work, and we need to understand them to be successful in that work market. The old work market was designed for a post-industrial mentality. I don't know if you realize this whole idea of a big glut of education at the beginning of your life, and going to college and being trained for a thing, and then going out in the world of work, jumping from the box of education into the box of work, that works really well if you're trying to work in a factory, or if you're trying to work in jobs where they're pretty well defined. You kind of know you're a peg and there's a slot, you're going to jump in the slot and everything's good. But the work market is changing dramatically. Part of it is because we just came out of this, well, we're hopefully still coming out of this long recession. We've washed out a whole bunch of jobs that just don't exist anymore. And so there's high unemployment, but employers in many cases are complaining they can't find the people that they want. And I think it's because the rules of work have changed. So one of those rules is that the old peg and slot mentality of specific jobs with people jumping into them, there's not going to be as much of that in the future. And instead, what's going to happen is that people need to become far more individually driven. They've got to become more self-reliant. They've got to become more keyed into their own purpose. I think the education market is going to change. I think this whole mentality of jumping into a glut of education and going to college for just this period of time, that's going to go the way of the dodo. And instead, that whole model is going to turn on its side, and it's going to become a model of lifelong education, lifelong work, and also lifelong leisure, the things that we do in our spare time as well. I think that the box mentality, a big box of education, a big box of work, and then a big box of leisure in what used to be retirement, we call it the period formerly known as retirement, that's going to go away as well, and we're going to be working for a lot longer. So what does all this have to do with your purpose and social media? A couple of things. When people go through the process of determining what they should be doing with their lives, there are three important steps. Everybody goes through these steps. Some people do it in 5 minutes. Some people do it in 5 years. Some people do it in 50 years. The first question that you have to answer is, what am I here for? Who am I? What are my skills? What are the things about me that are unique? Every single person has a unique combination of skills and values and interests that makes you the only person on the planet with that exact combination. And rather than this old mentality of forget your uniqueness and just fall into being a peg in a slot, the new world of work is going to not only encourage you but demand that you know what you're doing, that you're far more purpose-driven. And so in the era of social media, the what, the determining who you are, that's where you can use the various tools around you to be able to reach the people who can be your supporters, the people who can help you to go through the process of determining what. Step number two is where. Given your unique set of skills and interests and values, where can you best apply them? Now, in the old model, that was one place and for a career, an entire lifetime. And you got a gold watch at the end. In the new era, the era that is much more entrepreneurial, your skills and interests and values can be used in dozens or hundreds of different combinations. And so actually, the onus is on you to make a determination about the best place to be able to do that. And again, social media can help. The where can be where people who are supporters of yours, people who are in your network, can help you to brainstorm, help you to figure out all the different places you could be doing that kind of work, the different kinds of work that you think might be possible. And as a matter of fact, this whole entrepreneurial culture of startups and of continually trying on new ways to be able to do new things and to meet new customer needs, that's a great part of the where process as well. As a matter of fact, I don't think we're going to enter an era where it isn't just whether or not you did a startup, it's everybody's going to have their own startup. As a matter of fact, Reid Hoffman and Ben Kiznoka have a new, the founder of LinkedIn, have a new book out called The Startup of You, and I think they've had a couple of key ideas, which is you should be more entrepreneurial.